Hi, I'm Joey Fite from thephysicaleducator.com.
And I'm Nathan Horn from iphysed.com.
And this is the Phys Ed Podcast. Nathan, how's it going?
Good, Joey. How are you, mate?
I am great. Summertime. I'm enjoying the sun here. And it just feels great to be on vacation. How about you?
Yeah, I know. It's been a fantastic couple of months for me. Like, I'm just coming to the end of my vacation. I'm back to work in a week and a bit, so it's been awesome. Like, so just sun, water, beers, barbecues, everything's been fantastic.
That's awesome. So where are you right now?
Right now I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia. So I've been in Canada for the last bit over a month now, it's been an unseasonally warm summer for Vancouver. Like, it's just been sun, which is unheard of for this part of the world.
Yeah, we kind of hear about Vancouver being a bit of a rainy place.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was here last summer as well, and it rained a lot. And so this summer, like, I can't even remember the last time it rained, and I've been here for over a month. So yeah, it's been awesome being hitting up the beaches and the lakes, and yeah, it's been good fun.
That's awesome. So just to make things clear for everyone listening, Nathan and I are both in Canada right now, and we did try to get together to do a live episode of the Phys Ed Podcast, but the timing just didn't work out. I couldn't get out to Toronto when he was in Toronto, and, well, Canada's a big country, so it was kind of far to fly all the way from Montreal to Vancouver to record a podcast.
Yeah, I know. Every time I looked up at the sand tower, I was like, that could be us up there. So it will happen. It will happen one day. This is you heard it here first.
Yeah, it's my turn to go to Singapore anyways.
Exactly.
All right. So we haven't talked in a while. This is episode 6. Episode 5 was a long time ago. And with all the things that happened around the launch of that podcast, with the site crashing and everything. So we have to try and keep this one under 75 minutes. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But so we got a lot to talk about. So
we do, but we're gonna try and keep it short, because I'm sure people don't want to listen to us talk on for over an hour again like we did last time.
Yeah, especially not in the summertime.
No.
So, let's talk. Where did we even leave off last time?
We were talking a little bit about, like, end of year and finishing up end of year, and I mean, like, while we were talking about that, I was pretty much done because we finished at the end of May. I think the last podcast was the second last week of May, so. The last week for me was very quiet. There were so many other things going on throughout the school that there wasn't a great deal of stuff that happened in terms of phys ed for me. But I don't know. Do you want to tell me more about what you did in the last part of the year?
Yeah, well, the end of the school year, it's a bit of a blur, eh? So everything went great. You know, like, I was so happy because the way that I set up my grade books this year and the way that I performed my assessment, like, so at the end of we have three terms here, and at the end of the third term, you're supposed to provide an overall assessment for each of the three competencies that you grade the kids on here.
Yeah.
So you're not just looking at that last term, you're really looking back at the entire year and grading them. And just, like, between, like, you know, like, my Evernote portfolios, like, everything I do with my numbers grade books, just all the different tools I learned how to use this year, and I really applied them. With so much like data collected through assessment, it was so easy to, like, give a grade, but not only easy, but, like, because, you know, like, it kind of felt easy, but I just felt really confident, like, in the grade I was giving the kid.
Yeah.
Because I had so much to work with. So that was really cool. So once the grading was done, like, you know, like, the final report cards went out, and that was great. I was really excited this year because last year my principal she didn't ask me. She told me that every year they had a carnival day. And we went to this park, and there's a pool, and then there's all kinds of activities, and it's the phys ed teacher's job to plan it. So I was like, okay, I can plan that. And, you know, last year what happened is that we got there, and day of, the lifeguards had put too much chlorine in the pool.
Oh, no.
So we couldn't even go swimming in the pool. So, like, that would have been fine if the pool was just, like, one little station, but it was actually, like, a huge part of the day. So I just felt like I was scrambling and running around and trying to set up activities with the equipment I had at the park. And, you know, like, I just kind of felt like I let the team down a little bit because I looked really disorganized, and I hate feeling that way.
Yeah.
So this year she asked me if I could, instead of doing a carnival day, because of last year's, like, a situation, my principal asked me if I would be willing to organize an Olympic day. Anyways, you should have seen the Olympic day I put together. There was not, like, a second of that day that wasn't perfectly planned out.
I wouldn't expect anything less from you.
Man, eventually I'll share the whole document on the site. I have to make sure I take out all my kids' names and everything. But, like, just everything was planned out. I had people running around collecting score sheets, bringing score sheets. I was entering everything into the computer. I had all the system calculating out the final points. The whole school was divided into six teams, each one representing a country. Anyways, the kids loved it. They had so much fun. It was a beautiful day outside. And it was just, like, it was, like, a great experience. Like, I was just so happy that, like, after that, like, everybody forgot about that carnival day that didn't go so good. Everybody was like, oh, my God, I can't wait for Olympic Day next year. So I was pretty pumped about that.
Yeah, there are always stressful days in the lead up. Like, I know at my school now, I have two throughout the year. So we have, like, an athletics one earlier in the year. And then towards the end of the year, we have a swimming carnival as well. And, like, just the days and weeks leading up to it is just this constant stress. Like, I'm very similar to you. I like everything to be planned down to the last little minute detail. Like, I need to know everything that's happening and sort of, I try and think about every possible scenario that could go wrong before it happens. And then on the day, inevitably those things do go wrong. If things happen, you just sort of like go with it on the fly, and it ends up being a fantastic day. And it's such a like a great community building thing for the school. And like, I don't know whether at yours, but at ours we have parents come along, and it's just, it was awesome. Like, I hate it in the lead up, but when it's happening and once it's done, it's a fantastic feeling for you and to know that you've sort of like provided this fun, exciting day for the kids and the parents as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like getting back to like the parents, like it's so nice having the parents come out, and the parents are always so helpful. So that was just super nice. And no, like, yeah, like it is stressful, like setting all that stuff up, because often you are alone. Like at my school, like I'm alone organizing it. So that's why, like, this year, you know, like, when I finally showed the final, like, the planning document that I put together to the teachers, everybody just kind of looked at me like I was, like a psycho or something, because it's, like, a 70-page document. But the thing is that, like, I made it so it's a cookbook, so that, like, next year, all I have to do is change the name of the kids, and it's all planned, and it's ready to go.
Yeah.
You know, like, I can change some of the activities, like, make it a little bit more innovative here and there. But, like, the bulk of it's planned, and even if I leave the school, like, if ever I'm not back at Royal Charles next year because of, you know, like I'm still a young teacher in the system here and I might get bumped around.
Yeah.
But even if that happens, whoever's going there can just pick it up and just run with it, you know? So that's kind of the idea I had when I started planning it.
Yeah. Mine's very similar. Like, I try and do the same thing. And, you know, I know we're similar in this way, is like we probably do far too much work than is actually necessary for it to actually run successfully on the day. But at the same time, like when you have a lot of parents helping or even other staff members helping, especially if it's towards the end of the year when there's reports and other things like that, like lots of things happening, you know, that English teacher or math teacher, you know, it's important for them and it's good for them to have basically everything that they need and just be told like, this is what you're doing. This is how you do it. Here's everything. Like, you don't have to think about it. We've provided everything for you. Just turn up and everything will run to plan. Because in past schools where I've been where it didn't happen like that, you end up, it's often more difficult in terms of trying to organize the staff and the parent help than it is actually organizing the kids on the day.
Yeah, exactly.
So the more you can do, I guess, in preparation before one of those whole school events in terms of, you know, put yourself in the shoes of another teacher who isn't very, you know, sporty or phys ed inclined, and think, well, if I was that person, what would my questions be and what would I need to have and need to know to be able to do my job on that day, and then prepare that for them.
Yeah, exactly. And it's like I was saying too, like, you know, like I'm only going to find out in August if I'm back at Royal Charles, and like I love the kids there, and I didn't want it to be that, like, on this last day where like it was really supposed to be like this fun day, I didn't want it to be that I was just running around like a stress case all day, like trying to fix this problem, trying to fix that problem. I want it to be that I could stop and I could joke around with the kids and I can just, you know, like the day meant as much to me as it probably meant to them.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure like that, like it came off as like a really positive experience for everyone, including myself and the staff and the parents and especially the kids.
Yeah, definitely. Like I know at my school, like I think a few people were shocked sort of like this year compared to previous years with those events because previously, the PE teacher wasn't the sort of like MC of the day, and because they were too busy running around dealing with all those issues. Whereas both events, I was able to MC the day and just basically go around and interview kids and talk to them and sort of color commentate the day, because everything was organized and planned in advance. So it wasn't like I was needing to just run around and go crazy all day to sort stuff out. I was able to actually stand and watch and participate in what was happening.
That's awesome. All right, so that was the end of the school year, and it went great. Now it's summertime, and we just kind of had a pretty cool thing. Let's talk about the Phys Ed Awards. Yeah. That's what I want to get into here.
Definitely.
All right, so the Phys Ed Awards is just, I'm so happy with how it turned out. I thought last year, after I helped organize the conference, 2 years ago actually, when I helped organize the conference here in Quebec for our Phys Ed teachers, mm-hmm. With APEC, and they give out awards and everything. I was like, man, giving out awards, there's no awards for the people who are online, either spending a lot of time on Twitter. I've talked to you before, the first time I saw a Google Hangout, where the PE Geeks Unite Google Hangout, where there was a bunch of teachers on a Friday night,
yeah,
just talking about their phys ed programs and everything. I just thought that was so cool. And not that we ever do stuff not that we ever create content online to receive an award or anything like that, but it is nice to get that kind of recognition that hey, what you're doing is providing a lot of value to the phys ed community. And it's appreciated. So that was kind of the idea behind the Phys Ed Awards. And man, it really blew up, eh?
Yeah, it was crazy. It was on CBC Manitoba. It was on Yahoo Canada. It was the media coverage for this thing was insane.
Yeah, it got retweeted by a few celebrities and everything. It was pretty sweet. First of all, congratulations. You got nominated for 3 out of 4 categories.
Thanks very much. Yeah, no, it was definitely a humbling experience when I saw that I'd been nominated for 3 out of 4 categories. It really blew my mind to think that people thought that what I was doing was beneficial. So, thanks to anyone out there who nominated and voted for me. It was, and thanks to you for setting something like this up. Let it be known to everyone out there listening that Joey was unable to be nominated or voted for in any of these categories because he set it up. But guarantee you this, if he was nominated, he would have won by so far it wouldn't have even been worth it.
No, but the point wasn't to do anything like that, right? The point was just to kind of get the word out. And it's I was talking to first of all, you won a best YouTube channel.
Oh, thanks very much.
Which I think is amazing because I know how hard it is to put videos together and how much time it takes, even the screencast and everything. So, props to you for getting that good content up there.
Oh, thanks.
And you're going up against some really good content, too, like Phys Ed Games and, Phys Edagogy and what Matt Pomeroy is doing and Jared Robinson, too. All those channels are just great channels. Amanda Stanek, so Move, Live, Learn, she won Best Twitter Handle.
The firecracker.
Yeah. Our man Andy came in with Best Blog of the Year.
Of course.
And then Coach's Eye, which we've talked about a lot on the podcast here, Coach's Eye came away with a top Phys Ed app of the year.
Great.
So no, I think it was great. And I was talking to Amanda about it when I let her know that she'd won, and she was saying the main important thing here is that we got all this attention, and it's going to do so much good for Phys Ed, because now people are going to be what do you mean Phys Ed teachers are doing stuff online? And they're going to get to see the kind of stuff that we're creating and the kind of passion that we're pouring into our work. So, just everybody wins in this situation.
Definitely. And you're right. It's great to be rewarded for the things that you do. And that's not the reason that we do them. As you said, we do them because we do it out of the love of wanting to advance the profession that we're in. But the friendly competition that took place around this awards, just the banter back and forth between the people that were nominated and the friendly sort of people saying, I'm nominated for this, but feel free to vote for these other fantastic people as well. So it wasn't a really competitive, I guess as phys ed teachers, we have this stereotype of being these uber competitive people and we are competitive, but it's nice to have that sort of friendly competition and sort of help others to realize the great work that our colleagues are doing. I think I heard like when Blue Jay was being interviewed by one of the CBC, and the woman that was interviewing was saying, like, you know, it's really interesting to see such a like camaraderie between all these people that you've never met before, but you all have the same sort of goal in mind in terms of getting a profession to move forward.
It is pretty crazy that like a lot of us have not met yet. Because I really feel like, you know, like a lot of the people I talk about on Twitter, like, I, like, you know, like even you and me, like, you know, we've never met in person or anything, but like, I view you like as a friend. Like, I know that if we'd meet each other, just be like, oh, hey, Nathan, let's go grab a beer or something.
Exactly.
And I feel like that about so many people on Twitter. So it's pretty sweet, like, seeing like the type of bonds that we're able to create, like on like a professional level, but also like on like a friendship level. Like, you know, like we have so much respect for each other. That I don't know. I just think it's really cool, like knowing that, like, you know, like I could go to UK, I could go to Australia, and there are people there that I want to see. There are people there I want to meet.
Yeah, exactly. It's a very small world that we live in.
Yeah. Speaking about going different places to meet people, I'm about getting ready to go to North Carolina for the National PE Institute.
Awesome.
So I've been talking with Artie Kamayel, who's organizing it, and I'm just pumped, man. I can't even explain how excited I am to be there.
Yeah, so you're doing a keynote, and are you speaking once or twice?
Twice. So I'm doing my keynote. The keynote, I'm going to be talking actually about a lot of the people who are on Twitter and everything, because I'm kind of talking about how the internet's shaping phys ed and how all this new type of professional development that we're getting is really helping so many teachers develop as professionals a lot faster than they would have in the past.
Yeah.
So that's what my keynote's going to be touching on. And then I'm giving two breakout sessions. One's on technology in the gym, so something I've talked a lot about this year, and I'm really excited to be there and present those ideas. And then the other was I'm talking about how to build your online network. So it's actually cool because right after my keynote, I'm going to get to talk about, like, okay, so here's some different tools you can use to start creating your online network.
Yeah.
So, no, I'm really excited. I think it's going to be great. And I think it's really cool, too, thinking that, like, you know, this is a summer conference, and they're expecting quite a bit of people. So, so you know, it's pretty cool thinking that, like, here we have all these teachers who, like, everybody thinks teachers just kind of, like lie back and just, like, enjoy the summer as soon as school's done. But, no, there's a lot of teachers out there just trying to, like, do as much as they can to, like, gear up and get ready for another school year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's an interesting time in summer, like, because I guess there's, you know, you want to relax, you want to take time to recharge the batteries and stuff, but it's also a really great opportunity to experiment with like some apps maybe that you haven't used before that you've downloaded, or maybe read some articles or just catch up on stuff, because I feel like often during the school year there's so many other things happening that, you know, you've got like things like, you know, Pocket and stuff where you're saving things to, or you're favoriting things on Twitter, and you just never really get a chance to go back to them. So like, I know that I've been spending a lot of time like going through my Pocket account and just like reading all of these articles that I'd sort of like saved over the last sort of 6 months that I meant to get back to and that I haven't. So it's a good time to sort of like catch up on stuff as well.
Yeah. The thing is too, is that like, I find that in the summer, you know, when I'm doing these readings and that, like, I always enjoy it, but I find it especially enjoying in the summer because, I don't know, it's very, like, self-directed, I guess. Like, you know, nobody's telling me I have to go to a workshop. Nobody's telling me I have to, like, read a book. I just want to do it because I want to make sure that I come out of summer, like, just feeling great and getting ready for teaching again.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I know. And, so, well, like, sorry to interrupt you, but like you mentioned earlier about like those teachers on a Friday night, you know, chatting away and stuff. Like, I don't know whether you saw, it was maybe last week, the PEPLC Learning Leaders Google Hangout that was sort of like led by Matt Pomeroy. Like, they, again, that was on a Thursday or a Friday night in the middle of summer, and they ended up talking for like almost 2 hours on some really sort of like meaningful topics surrounding the, you know, the PEPLC. So, you know, it is, that's when you say self-directed, that's very self-directed as well, in terms of, you know, people are choosing to give up, or not give up their summertime, but use their summertime to connect and to develop themselves further as professionals. Like, I just wonder sometimes whether administrators within schools and I wonder what parents would think if they knew that their teachers were spending, you know, you always hear of people saying, oh, you know, teachers, you're so lucky you have, you know, 2 months off over summer. I wonder whether people are aware of the work that people are putting in over that time.
Yeah, that's the thing. Often people think that just teaching, you know, like we're just kind of winging it, but it actually takes a lot of planning, and like it takes a lot of like just mental preparation for it. And you see like these teachers, like parents, like administrators, they don't realize that, like, yeah, there's a lot of teachers out there taking it really seriously. There's a lot of phys ed teachers out there taking it really seriously, trying to go in and provide the absolute best education for your child or your student as possible. Man, what you and Andy are doing with the PPLC, like, I just think that's amazing. Like, I have been watching the Google Hangouts, and it's just incredible ideas and just incredible people that are involved with it.
Yeah, we've been really lucky, I guess, so like in setting this up. You know, it's grown bigger than we could have ever imagined. I think there's close to 250 people involved now, and there's a large number of those people that are very well respected academics within the phys ed community who are openly sharing their knowledge and their ideas and wanting to be involved in this. So I think that's like a testament to the sort of the idea and what can come out of it. And it's such an open-ended process as well, you know, with all these learning teams, that it's really just going to continue to grow in such an organic way that who knows what's going to come out of it in the end.
Yeah. No, it's going to... I'm excited.
You just talked about speaking in North Carolina, and that's like, I wish I could be there. And if there are any people out there that are going, make sure you get along and support Joey and say good day to him. And I'm sure he'd be quite happy to meet you afterwards for a drink. But I was also lucky enough while I was here in Canada to speak a couple of weeks back at UBC. Part of their summer institute there, so that was a fantastic opportunity for me. And like, I got to meet one of my heroes and a really well respected person in our field in Joy Butler.
That's amazing.
Yeah, she was fantastic. Like, so I had the opportunity to sit down and have a coffee with her and just chat all things phys ed, and it was really humbling to me to hear her speak about like people like yourself and I and other people like Blue Jay and Amanda and stuff, and see that these people who are sort of at the top of academia are sort of like they're trying to keep up with what's happening online as well, and see that what we're doing is beneficial. So it was really nice to speak to her about that and sort of discuss ways that maybe we could work together with her. And so then out of that, got to go and speak to some of the graduate students who are doing their master's program at UBC. So it was only a short sort of like 30, 45 minute sort of talk or workshop. And it was just all around meaningful technology integration. So I know Ash Casey has talked about it before, and Andy's talked about it in terms of the drill and the hole and going to a hardware store. You know, the drill is the tool that allows you to drill that hole in the wall. So in terms of looking at technology, we want to think about what the outcome is that we want first from our students before we start like thinking about what technology is going to help us and is technology going to help us at all. So I was able to speak to the graduate students about that and sort of just give them some ideas of ways that they can integrate technology more meaningfully in their classrooms as they move forward once they've done their master's program. So that was a fantastic opportunity for me.
That's awesome. How was it received? I'm curious to know how like these graduate students, what are their feelings towards tech and phys ed?
It was interesting because I felt like there was a pretty wide range of experiences with tech. There were some people who I'd connected with on Twitter before, and they were there. So it was nice to actually put faces to names. And they were obviously pretty sort of like already using technology and keen to learn more. But then there was another element of people that hadn't really experimented with it before. And I don't know, it was interesting because I talked a lot about Google Apps for Education, which is something that I use a lot. But I know there were some issues in I don't know whether it was in Canada or just here in BC or in the States around Google Apps for Education in terms of privacy matters. So I know a lot of school boards were not keen to go towards it. So it was, you know, that created some hurdles, but we talked about ways to get around that and stuff. So, but it was received really well. Like it was received well by a majority, but there was a few people that I could tell were a little bit skeptical. And I don't know whether that was to do with the fact that they were, I don't know what their master's thesis or graduating project was, and whether that was not obviously not to do with technology, so they maybe thought that that wasn't beneficial to them at that time. But on a whole, it was very successful. And it wasn't only Joy Butler, it was Steve Mitchell was there as well, who's a professor at Kent State. And so I got to chat with him as well. And like he even said to me, actually, he's like, oh, that was really interesting. I have an iPad that's been sitting on my desk for about 6 months that I haven't even picked up yet. And so he said, you've motivated me to go back and pick it up and start using it. So, you know, for me, that was a win.
That's awesome. And you know, like even when, like I gave a workshop, let's say like, my last workshop I gave this year was at Central Quebec School Board in Quebec City.
Yep.
And it was a very, very small group. We're only like a dozen. And we had a few people in there who were just not keen on tech. Like they just weren't interested in it. But you almost want those people to be there, yeah. Like get part of the crowd, because you want them to be asking the questions and be presenting like the challenges that they're going to challenge you with, because it allows you to like, cause if not, like if people just like, oh yeah, technology is great. Oh yeah, like I'm going to do this. And they go out. And then a problem happens, like, well, what the heck? Like, I wasn't expecting this to happen. Yeah. So it's almost good to have those people there, because then you can start talking about any issues that could occur.
Yeah.
So when people go out and they want to start integrating technology into their teaching, they already have an idea of, okay, here's things that I could expect and I need to prepare for this too.
Yeah. It's always great. It's always great in workshops. And it was the same in that one at UBC where, like, I had people asking me hard questions. But that's great. That's better than people just sitting there not interacting and not asking questions and just sort of like taking everything that I said as fact or as gospel and stuff. Like, it was nice to have people sort of challenge some of the ideas that I was sharing. And obviously because it was only a short workshop, I was sort of like trying to get through as much as I could. And so, when they did ask those questions, I was able to then say, well, you know, here's why, and here's the evidence to back up what it is. And, you know, like the main part is, you know, if it's not going to work for you, then don't use it. Only use what's going to work for you and what is beneficial to your students. Like, I use a lot of Google Apps tools because our school is a Google Apps school, and we have Google Site portfolios for our kids that are set up like outside of phys ed, and so it's easy for me just to integrate into that. So that's something that works for me. But if that's not going to work for you, then don't use it. Use something else.
Exactly. It has to be a solution to a teaching problem you're experiencing.
Yeah.
If you're not experiencing that problem, then there's no point for you to try and go out and find a solution that you're not comfortable with in the first place.
Exactly. And that's the drill on the whole thing again. Like,
yeah.
You know, think about what you want first before you just go out and sort of like expect that this little tablet or piece of technology is going to solve all your problems.
Exactly.
All right, moving on, because we're conscious of time today, so let's get this happening.
Okay, first of all, huge news. You got an up.
Yes, I did get an up. Fantastic. I love it. After hearing you speak about it, I was like, right, I want to get one. So I actually got it in the States, because I don't know, where did you get yours, in Canada or in the States?
I got mine at the Apple Store in Montreal.
Yeah. Okay. Cause like out here in BC, I was looking around for it and it hadn't seemed to be in any stores, and it said arriving late July. So, I happened to be down in the States, just in Washington State, in Seattle for the day. And saw one, so just grabbed it, and I love it. Like, it's incredible. So we've got it. For those that don't know, me and Joey have a bit of a competition going at the moment. Like, we're teammates on the Up app, so I can see Joey's activity and he can see mine. So it's a constant battle every day to see who can get the most steps in.
You know, I was really loving the Up, my Up and the app before you got yours. But I find when you start getting a teammate, then he's like, okay, yeah, I am going to start making sure I log my food all the time, or yeah, I'm going to check in on my mood. By the way, for those of you who don't know what the Up is, the Jawbone Up is it's a bracelet that you wear, and it tracks your activity throughout the day. So steps and things like that. And then also tracks your sleep at night. And it has an app that's on iOS or Android that you can connect it. And then when you plug it in, it shows you all your data. So just like this quantified self idea. So that's it. So now that I have, you got one, and Mike Ciccoliti, who a lot of people don't know, but Mike's one of the guys who helped me set up the physical education in the first place. He, most of the game sheets you see on the site, he's the one that created them. So, you know, he got one too, and he's doing his master's right now. He's going to get back involved with the site soon. I keep putting pressure on him, but he got his. So now here I am with two teammates. First of all, Mike's creaming me. He's doing like 26,000 steps every day. And it's fun. Like, it just makes it competitive. Like, a lot of times, like, I'll be like, oh, I'll take the bus to go home. Then I'll look, I was like, man, Nathan's leading on steps today.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to walk instead.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's an interesting thing. And, like, I feel like I've had a lot of people, just, like, friends and relatives and stuff, just here since I've had it, that are, like, asking me about it. I'm like, well, like, why? Why do you have that? And, like, what's the benefit of having that? And what I keep coming back to is, like, that if you know more about yourself and your habits and stuff, then you can sort of live a healthier life because you're more aware of what's happening. And the thing that I love about it the most, I think, is the sleep. Like, that's a really interesting thing for me. And, like, starting to see, now that I've had it for about 3 or 4 weeks, starting to see some trends in my sleep patterns in terms of, you know, depending at what time, like, if I go to bed before, like, 10 p.m., then I tend to get more deep sleep than light sleep. Or if I go to, you know, if I exercise more during the day, then this happens. So it's interesting to see all these different little, like, trends and track them and sort of work out what's happening throughout my life and throughout the days, depending on what I'm eating or how much I'm exercising and stuff. So, yeah, it's really interesting. I know there's, like, my girlfriend she got the Fitbit.
The Flex?
The One, I think.
Okay.
Just there. So that just clips onto your clothes, which is, I guess, she looked at mine and the wristband. She said, well, I probably wouldn't wear that all the time because, you know, I like to wear jewelry and other stuff. But the Fitbit's better because it's a bit more discreet. So that's, I think, like, a little bit of I know more females, I think, will probably go for the Fitbit. But it's interesting because I feel like that the sleep tracking on that one isn't as comprehensive as the sleep tracking on the Up, but there's other things that it tracks better. So yeah, I mean, they both theoretically have the same idea in mind in terms of, like, knowing more about yourself to make better decisions. But yeah, any of those sort of, like, quantified self track is a really sort of hot property at the moment.
Yeah, when I compared the Fitbit, and this was even before the Flex came out, but I'd already been looking at what the Flex was going to provide. The thing is, like, the Fitbit and the Up, like, both of them have their pros and cons, and, like, the pros and cons just kind of outweigh each other. So I really seem like as being, like, equal.
Yeah.
To be honest, I went with the Up because I love the design.
Yeah.
So, like, that's why I got the Up. Like, I just think it looks really cool. So.
What color do you have?
I have it in the blue.
Okay. I have the slate black one.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I guess, like, the other thing with the, like, I think this was something that separated them for us was, like, I don't mind having to take mine off and plug it into my phone to update the data, whereas my girlfriend's, like, hers just does it via Bluetooth, so anytime she's near her phone or near the computer, it just automatically updates, so she doesn't have to think about it as much. So I guess, like you're right, each of them has, they are equal, like, it's just a matter of, you know, what.
Yeah, it's what really good. It just comes down to your preference.
Yeah. I think the Up, like, the thing I like about the Up as well is the app. It's really user-friendly. It's really visual. Like, I find it really, like, easy to navigate and easy to use. And it's sort of, yeah, I like the look of it, which I know we've talked about before. It's like, I'm a really visual person, so I like those very simple visual style things.
Yeah, it gives you, like, it does give you quite a bit of data, but it doesn't give you too much. Yeah. And it's presented well, and, like, and I really like Tuna, how it integrates with a lot of different apps. So, like, you know, like, my Runkeeper data, like, gets sent to my Up, and, like, I'm getting a withing scale soon, and, like, all that stuff, like, integrates with it there.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Ups, they're really cool. You should check them out. Anybody who's listening, you should look into it.
Yeah.
Okay. So I know you had some apps you want to talk about. Speaking of this Up app.
Yeah.
So what are apps you want to talk about?
I meant to talk about this last time, but obviously we talked for so long last time that we sort of lost track of what was happening. so there's two that I wanted to talk about. I've used one a lot. I sort of discovered it towards the end of last year. And so that one's called Fixture Maker.
Okay.
And so, like, I found that I was always struggling when I was teaching, and, you know, we were having some sort of, like, mini tournament. Maybe we're playing hockey or soccer or basketball, and, you know, you've got four teams and you decide you want to have a little round robin or something like that. And, or maybe, like, it's fine when you have four teams, but, like, maybe there was five teams and it's difficult to work out who's played who and who hasn't played who and make sure that everyone's played everyone, and it just gets really messy. And so I found this app. I've been looking for an app like this for so long, and I finally found this one. And so what it is basically is you just like input your teams. You can have as many teams as you like. You can decide whether it's going to be like a tournament or a league, and whether it's going to be single match or like a home and away style thing. And then you just generate the fixture, and away you go. And it sort of it sets up, you know, team A versus team B versus team C versus D. It gives you a spot to put the scores in, and as soon as you enter those scores, it automatically generates the league table. It was good because I just gave it to the kids once I'd set the teams up, and sort of, you know, if there's five teams playing or three teams or whatever, you can have the team that's not playing actually scoring and taking control of this fixture maker thing. And so, you know, they're entering the scores, they're entering the people that score. It gives a top scorer sort of table and how many goals they've scored. And then you've got the table with, you know, points and goals for, goals against, all of those things. So it's a really simple idea. And I'm surprised that it wasn't available earlier. I know I looked for a long time to find something. But it's really just really simple. It's laid out really well, really easy to use. So I know there's a lot of people out there that probably would be able to use that for their lessons.
That's awesome. And it's free, eh?
Yeah, it is free.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So that was one. The other one, which I haven't used a lot, but are sort of like, I know there's a lot of talk about like gamification of learning and gamification of exercise as a way of like encouraging people to exercise. And so another one's called Teemo, T-E-E-M-O, which is also free at the moment. So the idea behind this is it's sort of like one of those personal trainer style apps where, you know, it might give you a set of exercises to do around flexibility or strength or endurance, but it's all done in the guise of an adventure. Okay. So I think there's like six or seven different adventures. So there's like a Himalayan one, there's a cross-country underwater style one where you're completing exercises, and as you complete these exercises, you're sort of like progressing through this adventure style thing of like climbing Mount Everest or I know there's one which is like a circus one, so a lot of the activities are more hand-eye coordination things, and so it's like juggling and things like that, and then you progress as your circus tours around the country. So it's, you know, it's just an interesting thing that I thought, you know, it might be good to use with the kids, maybe to as like a warm up style thing to get them going and to keep them interested in just doing these quick little exercises, because it's more of a like a video game, I guess.
Yeah.
The only issue with it at the moment is that the only way to actually access the app is to log in via Facebook, which sort of sucks a little bit in terms of like, I know a lot of schools, you know, you can't use Facebook within the school, so. I don't know. I'm going to contact them, I think.
You should.
And send them a message and see if they can add some sort of login procedure that's not using Facebook, because I think that there'd be a lot of educators that could use it. So I'm just looking at it now. There's Desert Dash, Jungle Rescue, Inca Trail, Everest, Gold Rush, Caribbean Sailing, Cirque du Nomad. So yeah, there's I think 10 at the moment, different challenges. So yeah, interesting app.
And this is like, I'm checking it out too. Like, it's really well designed too. It looks really nice.
Yeah, I can really see the kids enjoying it. Like, especially if you can like airplay it up onto a big screen.
Yeah.
I'm just using it right now. So like the first exercise is, this is the Desert Dash, high knees for 1 minute. So it's just, you know, running on the spot, getting high knees. That's the first exercise, and it gives you three different intensities as well. So you've got easy, medium, and hard. So,
okay.
You know, the easy one is 1 minute, the medium is 1:30, and the hard is 2 minutes. So once you've done that exercise, you sort of move forward on the adventure, and then maybe it gives you like some sort of like sit-ups or a plank or things like that. So yeah, interesting app.
Huh. I'm definitely gonna check it out. I'm a sucker for like apps that are well designed. Anything that looks really good, like, I'm for sure going to try it out.
Yeah. Well, I just think it's, like, we were talking a little bit earlier about, you know, a big part of the summer being looking after yourself.
Yeah.
And so it's things like that as well. Like I'm more inclined to do something like that because it is well-designed, because it looks like it's a challenge, or because I think it's something that I could use in my teaching. Whereas if I didn't have that and I just was like, well, I guess I better go and do some exercise, maybe I wouldn't do it. So that's the benefit of things like RunKeeper and Nike Plus and the yoga apps and things like that. It sort of gives you that added motivation to do it.
Yeah, and definitely using your summertime to be able to like recharge your batteries and just take care of yourself physically. Like I've been doing, did you hear about that? There was an article in the New York Times a while back about this scientific 7-minute workout.
No.
And basically it's an interval training routine. But you know, like obviously everybody's going to jump on it. It's like, oh, it's only 7 minutes. But there was a ton of apps that came out. Like I've been using Endloop, I think, creates the app, the one I use.
Yeah.
So just it's a 7-minute workout. You do an exercise for 30 seconds, you get 10 seconds rest. Another exercise for 30 seconds, you go on like that. But I've been using it as like a brain booster in the morning. So basically like I said, I've been trying to take care of myself this summer. Like I get up, I have my smoothie, I meditate. I'm still using Headspace.
Okay.
And I've been checking in on Lyft a lot more lately too. If anybody's joining Lyft, there's now a web interface. So you don't even need a smartphone to be able to join the service. But anyways, I do that. And then right before I go to do work, I do my little 7-minute workout thing. And as soon as I start doing, we're phys ed teachers, right? So we know all the evidence that supports it. Like I'm focused, I'm alert, I'm good to go. So it's been fun just using it that way.
Yeah.
It's all these little apps that I just keep on my phone, like RunKeeper, the Withings one, and obviously Up. It's just nice. Like I find like they've really been motivating me to kind of stay on track of my health and making sure that I'm getting enough exercise in the day. Because as funny as it sounds, because like, yeah, I am a phys ed teacher. It's really easy to get caught up when you're working at a computer all day and you're trying to like get things going here, and you just kind of forget how much time you've actually spent sitting.
Yeah.
Which is a great feature of the Up, because I have it vibrate like every hour. So if you've been idle for an hour, or you can set it on your settings, like it will vibrate and tell you to get up and get moving.
Yeah.
So yeah, so that's always fun.
Yeah, another app that I know Jared talked about in his blog as well was Frap App Tap. I don't know whether you saw that.
Nope.
So it's a bit like Video Tagger in a way. So basically like what it is like Video Tagger is a great app and you can still like tag things as like, so you can be filming the kids and you can tag the video as it's happening. But often that, you know, I try to use it and like it ends up me being behind this screen. I'm not actually paying attention to what's happening in the lesson and in what's happening. So Frap Tap is great because you record the video and then later on you can go back. So you could do it, or the kids could do it, where anytime you play the video and anytime you want to like tag an action in the game or in the video, you just tap the screen and a little pop-up appears and you say like, I don't know, pass. You can tag the player, number, and then you play again. Okay, now you're tagging a shot. And so then once you've done the whole video, it'll give you a list of all of the highlights that you've highlighted within that video.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's really, I think it's like $3 or $4. But really like a good tool, I guess, for older kids, you know, if they're like analyzing game performance, then maybe it's, they're analyzing a basketball game and they want to highlight all of the shots of a certain player. It'll produce basically a video highlight reel of that player's shots every time they touch that screen. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see. Like, I know it's only fairly new, or like it's only new to people's attention in the last few weeks. It'd be interesting to see how it's used in the next little bit.
I'm definitely going to be looking into that one.
Definitely.
All right. Well, we're trying. Like I said, we're trying to like stay on time here because I don't want the site crashing.
Yeah.
And I know people are going to want to listen to this. But last thing I want to say, actually two last things. First of all, if by the time anybody listening to this, my blog post has probably gone up, but Jiro Dreams of Sushi, it's a movie that every teaching professional should watch, I find, only because it's crazy because I thought it was going to be about sushi, and it's not. It's about continuing to want to develop as a professional. It's amazing. So I blogged about that. There'll be links up that. And the last thing is, if you're listening to this, if you enjoy it, and even if you don't really enjoy it, please make sure you leave a rating or a review in iTunes, because that really helps the podcast get a little bit more exposure and can hopefully get more listeners here that can potentially crash the site.
Yeah.
So
Definitely. I know I checked like earlier in the year, and I think we were like 60 or something in the education podcast chart. So let's like try and get it up there in that top 50 and let's see how high we can get it. So yeah, definitely. Any of you people out there listening, make sure you leave us a review on iTunes.
Yeah. All right. Well, Nathan, do you have anything else?
No, I was going to say, like, I think, you know, we said 45 minutes. It's been 45 minutes. Let's end it here. Let's try and chat again maybe just before school goes back and talk about back to school.
Absolutely.
And things like, that we need to, like, think about in terms of getting back to school and starting the year off on a good foot.
Yeah, I'm loving doing this podcast, and especially during the school year, it makes me want to do cool stuff, because if I show up to this thing, you've done way more cool stuff than I've done cool stuff. Well, then,
yeah,
I got to stay up there.
It's the constant battle.
All right. Anyways, Nathan, you have a great rest of your time in Canada. You're heading out to Singapore on Wednesday,
back on Wednesday, and then back to school on the 29th. So, it's going to creep up very quickly.
All right, well, I'll make sure to send you all my nice pictures when I'm in Nova Scotia chilling on a beach.
Will do. And, have a Keith's for me.
All right. Will do. Trust me.
All right, man.
And take care, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, okay. And also, just before we go, congratulations to all those people that did win one of the PhysEd Awards. It's a great honor, and thank you for organizing them as well.
No problem. I'm just happy everybody's getting the recognition they deserve.
All right, well, that's it for us today. We've kept it short and sweet, so thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Take care, everyone.